So stay with us all morning long on this happy Thanksgiving takeaway. We're going to keep you updated on the situation in Egypt, which is still pretty fluid. Last night, to the surprise of many in Egypt, the Supreme Council of the Armed Forces went on television and said it regretted, quote, the deaths of martyrs from among Egypt's loyal sons. It was a very dramatic day in Cairo yesterday, and with a profile of what actually happened, the BBC's Hugh Sykes filed this story yesterday from Cairo.
Several dozen young men throwing rocks towards the police, tear gas canister being fired back, clouds of tear gas at the other end of the square. There's a young man with a masked face breaking up bits of pavement, making a pile of rocks. Distant bangs of tear gas being fired. I can see figures of young men silhouetted against the smoke. Great cloud of tear gas coming down the street now. Time to get away from it. For Lucky Square. But a Cairo journalist who I met in a street nearby, Abdullah Salim, says that the youths should stop throwing their stones and their petrol bombs now because they've got their crucial promise of presidential elections next summer. And he says there's no point in going on and on with their demand that Field Marshal Tantawi should also resign.
I feel that Tantawi, we are in November now, and if he leave in June, it's not so far. We can leave him to do his best here. It's good for people to be patient, you know, not aggressive, no fight.
But playing backgammon in a cafe not far away from the rioting, a young housewife, Mai Alafi, says Field Marshal Tantawi does have to go. Egypt needs a clean slate. And while I was talking to her, I learned more about Egyptian poverty than I'd expected to.
I want Tantawi's gone. He should go. Now we are fighting for eating, fighting for working.
One minute, there's a little girl here, about 5 years old, and she's selling bags of handkerchiefs. Here's a small child alone.
Looking for her eating.
Looking for money for food. Chuismak? Salwa. This little girl with bright eyes and a friendly face is missing more than three quarters of her hair. Where her hair should be, across the front and all one side of her head,
higher,
there are the scars of burns. Can you ask her what happened to her head?
Oil, hot oil.
Cooking oil?
Yeah. Mom cooking, so it's so bad. It's why these people here in Tahrir now, for her, for me, for everyone in Egypt.
Shukran Salwa, I'll buy some handkerchiefs from you. 2 Egyptian pounds. There are 10 Egyptian pounds to the British pound. And so she goes off from table to table. Very cheerful. She seems happy. It's amazing.
We all here in Egypt can be happy in any situation. In Tahrir, they are dying. In the same time, they are happy because they're feeling freedom.
Voices from the protests and the streets and off the streets of Cairo, Egypt, from our good friend Hugh Sykes in Cairo. From our partner, the BBC, who's been trying out his Arabic, apparently, Shu Ismek. I heard that there, Hugh. What's your name? Bring us up to date of what's going on this morning, Hugh.
Assalamu alaikum and happy Thanksgiving Day. The mornings are quiet on the whole here. There's been a news conference saying that the elections are definitely going to go ahead as scheduled starting on Monday. A lot of people are saying that it's election day on Monday. Well, yeah, it's election day on Monday and then another election day a month after and the month after and the month after, and the whole process will go on until March, with some areas of the country voting next week and other areas voting knowing the result, areas that have already voted, with all sorts of potential potential for direct or indirect fraud. For instance, a former Mubarak heartland up in the Delta will be voting in the third stage, and they'll be able to look at the votes in Cairo, and there's great potential for mischief there, for packing the vote, as it were, to compensate for any losses that they may make in the city. It's all very murky and suspect.
Although, take us back this week and give us a sense of how important the events of this week have been. In a way, they are possibly even more, as important, if not more important, than the original revolution that toppled the Hosni Mubarak, in a sense that what we're seeing is the people of Cairo are trying to influence a government that, is barely there yet.
Some of the people of Cairo. Tahrir Square is not the people of Cairo. It's some of the people of Cairo. I've been in parts of the city where people really are very disgruntled about what's going on. They're saying, hey, look, we have an election timetable. We've got concessions now as a result of the new protests in Tahrir Square. It's time to stop these protests. We've got a promise of presidential elections next week. For heaven's sake, guys, you people with the rocks and the petrol bombs, stop attacking the police. But the guys with the rocks and the petrol bombs continue to attack the police, although the police are not attacking them anymore. There was this crucial moment of terrible miscalculation by the military. Or was it by the police? There's another question here. Is the military in charge of what the police are doing? But nevertheless, on Saturday, there was this big protest in Tahrir Square, and it was invaded and assaulted and charged by the police and by the military, and there was an inevitable violent response with rocks and petrol bombs. But since the weekend, Tahrir Square has been occupied by the protesters. The protesters have been allowed to stay there unmolested. So the question arises now, why is it that these youths continue to attack the police in the side streets, 300 or 400 meters away from Tahrir Square every night when the protest is being tolerated? All the police are doing in that area is guarding the Ministry of the Interior. They can't afford to let the protesters in there because they'll invade it and set it on fire.
Well, Hugh Sykes there assessing the situation in Cairo just off Tahrir Square. We should point out Egypt's ruling military has apologized for the deaths of protesters since the weekend that Hugh Sykes refers to. Hugh, thanks so much.
Thank you very much. If they're apologizing, they're not in control of the police, are they?
Indeed.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With 3 updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.